Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to the Best Versions podcast, where I help you unlock your fullest potential to move from average to excellence. I'm your host, Rushdie Ismail, a computer engineer turned nutrition and life coach. I'm going to inshallah use my experience of over 25 years in the personal and spiritual development field to provide you with practical tools to move towards excellence, bi'idhnillah. Alhamdulillah, as usual, I am super excited to meet you in another episode of the Best Versions of Your podcast. Since Ramadan is around the corner, I was thinking about talking about something that is very relevant to Ramadan. So I would like to take this opportunity to talk about something that is very relevant to Ramadan. As you know, one of the utmost goals of Ramadan is to achieve taqwa. We all want to achieve God consciousness. We all want to come closer to our Rabb, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what's the fastest way to come closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Well, Allah himself says we can come closer to him by performing obligatory worship, by performing obligatory duties. Now, what better month do we have than Ramadan to increase our ibadah, right? I mean, regardless of the level of iman, every one of us, alhamdulillah, tries to do more worship in the month of Ramadan than in any other month. However, while we engage in more ibadah in this month, I want you to rethink about how ibadah helps you in your life. You know, intrinsically, we all know that ibadah benefits us immensely, right? However, in today's episode, I would like to talk about why ibadah is the bedrock of our success in both worlds. Now, have you ever taken time to think about why you pray, why you fast, or why you fulfill any other religious obligations? Sure, we do that because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks us to do it, right? We pray because Allah asks us to pray. We fast because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks us to fast. But that's just one of the answers we give, right? There are many other answers why we do that. However, it's crucial to understand that though Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks us to worship him, he is free from our worship. He does not need our worship in any form or shape. And that's very important to understand. And we know that as well. I mean, this is a surah we recite almost every single day, right? Surah Ikhlas, where we confirm this fact very often. قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ وَحَدْ اللَّهُ الصَّمَدْ. Allah is someone, he doesn't need anything from us, and we are all in need of him. Okay, he doesn't need us, he is free of any need. However, we are all in need of him. So he is free from all the needs. He doesn't need our prayer or any of our ibadah. Then why does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ask us to worship him? What's the reason? Well, that's because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks us to worship him because worship benefits us greatly in both worlds. That's why he asks us to worship him. He asks us to worship him because worship is exceptionally beneficial for us. Not just beneficial, but also essential, right? So we worship our Lord because we need worship to thrive in our lives. We need worship to energize our souls. We need worship to achieve success in both worlds. That's why we worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks us to worship him. But here is an even more amazing thing about worship. You know, though Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is free, 100% free from any needs, including our worship, he subhanahu wa ta'ala still rejoices to see his servant worshipping him. Subhanallah, think about that. You know, he doesn't need any worship from us. Still, he rejoices a lot seeing us worshipping him. In a beautiful authentic hadith in Sahih Muslim, Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam actually gives this through a beautiful analogy. He says, Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, Allah rejoices over the repentance of his slave more than the rejoicing of any of you when he finds his lost camel in the desert. So that's what he says. Obviously, that the hadith is long. I just summarized this. Think about this. Just I want you to imagine this. You're traveling in the desert on a camel. Okay? It's a long, hazardous journey. While on that journey, you feel the need to take a nap. Okay? So you stop and take a nap. So you tie your camel on a nearby tree and go napping. After a short nap, you wake up and find that your camel is all of a sudden no more there. It fled away with all the food and water you possessed while you were sleeping. So no water, no food, no camel. Now how are you supposed to survive in the heat of a waterless desert? How is it possible, right? So you are desperate and you are almost sure that you don't see your camel and you don't have any of your belongings. You don't have water, food, anything to survive. So you are sure about your inevitable death right now. And while being in that state, all out of nowhere, the lost camel returns to you. You feel like you are given a second chance to live. How would you feel? How happy would you be? Just imagine that. Think about that scenario for a while. You will be undoubtedly ecstatic, right? You'll be undoubtedly ecstatic, right? Subhanallah. Allah rejoices more than that when you repent to Him. Think about that. When you repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah rejoices more than that. So think about that for a moment. Allah is Ar-Rahman, the infinitely merciful, who is more compassionate to and protective of his servants than any mother is with a newborn baby. Allah is a shakur, the most appreciative. I mean, he gives without measure and appreciates the smallest effort of his slaves, right? And Allah is al-Kareem, he is the most generous. He loves giving and forgiving even to those who spend a lifetime getting and forgetting. That's because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves to see his servants prosper. That's why Allah loves to see his servants prosper in both worlds. You know, Allah wants you to be successful in this dunya and the akhirah. That's what he asks you to worship him. And that's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even teaches us in the Quran, right? When you ask that you are successful in both. Rabbana atina fid dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasana wa qina adhaban-nar. So the reason we worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that we want success, not only in the akhirah, but also in this world. You know, most of us think worship's success is linked to the akhirah only. Not at all. First and foremost, worship brings success in this world before the akhir. And this is obvious from the many Quranic ayah and hadiths we find. For instance, in Surah Nuh, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands us to seek forgiveness. And listen to what he says after that. فَقُلْتُ اسْتَغْفِرُوا رَبَّكُمْ إِنَّهُ كَانَ غَفَارًا. Seek your Lord's forgiveness, for he is truly most forgiving. Now what does he say? يُرْسِلِ السَّمَاءَ عَلَيْكُمْ مِدْرَارًا. He will shower you with abundant rain. وَيَمْدِدُكُمْ بِأَمْوَالٍ وَبَنِينَ وَيَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ جَنَّاتٍ وَيَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ أَنْهَارًا. And supply you with wealth and children and give you gardens as well as rivers. Subhanallah. This ayah clearly indicates that your ibadah benefits you both in this world and in the akhirah. We find this concept again in numerous places in the Quran and in the Sunnah. In one of the authentic hadiths recorded in Tirmidhi, Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Allah Almighty said, O son of Adam, busy yourself with my worship, and I will fill your heart with riches and alleviate your poverty. Subhanallah. Allah says, Allah commands, busy yourself with my worship, and I will fill your heart with riches and alleviate your poverty. If you do not do so, Allah warns as well, if you do not do so, I will fill your hands with problems and never alleviate your poverty. Subhanallah. See, what a simple and straightforward way. If you worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as He should be worshipped, you will achieve success in both worlds. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ask you to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, talking about success, because I have mentioned that word quite many times now, in many other places in the Quran, Allah uses the word falah to indicate success. You know, when talking about the believers in Surah Baqarah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أُولَٰئِكَ عَلَىٰ هُدًى مِّن رَبِّهِمْ وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ They are on true guidance from their Lord, and they are the successful ones. So muflihun, fala, the word muflihun comes from fala. So the word fala and its derivatives are actually in over 50 places in the Quran. Even in the Adhan, we hear every single day, right? 5 times a day. You hear the word fala. Hayya ala salah. Come to prayer. What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say after that? Hayya ala al falah. You are come to prayer, but come to success. So prayer is obviously success, right? So falah is loosely translated as success. In fact, it is the ultimate success. Now, falah is a very compact and rich word. It means much more than success. It means everlasting prosperity, blessing, and many other things. And obviously, I'm not an Arabic expert of Arab language. So I learned this from Imam Al-Qurtubi. According to Imam Al-Qurtubi, Al-Falah means many things. And he lists some of these things. One, he says, Falah means actually halal. That is, you achieve worldly success through rightful means of living. That's also Falah. So if you achieve worldly success through halal means, that's also Al-Falah. He gives another explanation of Al-Falah. He says, Al-Falah is Qana. Qana is you are satisfied and content with your life. Alhamdulillah, you are happy with your life. You are satisfied. Regardless of what you have, you are satisfied with that. And that's also success. Another explanation he gives is Al-Falah means Tawfiq. So that is Allah guides you to Islam. That is indeed the greatest success, right? I mean, you can have everything in this world, and if you're not guided to Islam, obviously that's the biggest loss. So one of the explanation of falah from Imam Al-Qurtubi is tawfiq. Another explanation he gives is sada. That is tranquility and happiness in this life. Okay, it's about having the tranquility, peace, and happiness in this life. And then obviously he says so al-falah is al-jannah. That is the ultimate success, the paradise, the middle from Allah Ala. So Al-Fa'ala means both material prosperity, okay? That is good life in this world and spiritual success in the hereafter. Okay? So Fala means both material prosperity as well as spiritual success in the Akhirah. And that is, what is the biggest spiritual success we can achieve in the Akhirah? Obviously, to achieve Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's rida, Allah's satisfaction, that He is pleased with us. Now listen to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about what happens when Allah is pleased with us. So again, in a very long hadith in Sahih Bukhari, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, when I love my servant, I am his hearing with which he hears, his seeing with which he sees, his hand with which he strikes, and his foot with which he walks. So subhanallah, I'm not going to explain this hadith. There are so many explanations to this hadith from scholars. But what I want you to understand is, subhanAllah, a tremendous success a human can ever achieve in this world and in the Akhirah is to achieve Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's rida. Everything will be sorted out. Everything will be settled for you if we achieve Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's rida. And the most important way to achieve it is through what? Through ibadah, through worship. So the more we can pray, worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the chances of achieving Allah's rida becomes more and more, inshallah. So there's no better and easy way than this. Okay? So let's, inshallah, increase our ibadah in the upcoming Ramadan. While working on increasing our ibadah, let's internalize the message that ibadah is the bedrock of our success in both worlds. Allah wants us to pray. Allah wants us to worship Him because one of the reasons is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to prosper in this life and in the Akhirah. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us increase our ibadah and come closer to Him every single day. That's it for me for today. I hope this episode is beneficial and something you can practice in your life. So if you find the episode beneficial, please do two things. Make dua for me. Number two, spread this goodness with your family and friends. So that's all from me for today. Thanks so very much for listening to my podcast. I hope this episode helps you go from average to excellence in worship, energy, love, and legacy. Until we meet in the next episode, inshallah, next Friday, I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showers His choicest blessings on you and your family. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.